I'm going to read our scripture and then we'll pray. Please turn with me to Psalm 107.
Amen.
Psalm 107, I'm going to read 23 to 32. This is the fifth book of the Psalms, and the verses I'm going to read, they start at 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still.
Yes.
Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for the wonderful works of the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Let us pray.
Amen.
Great God of heaven, creator of all things, we just thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you for this moment, for this time, oh God, when we're gathered in your presence, oh God, to hear from you and to learn of you, Father God. We just thank you. We ask you, oh God, just to open our hearts right now to receive what you have to say to us. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
When Pastor was preaching last week, I kind of felt like he was going to preach this message. I said, all right, I'll just make this a part two. So consider this a part two. It's almost a continuation of what we talked about last week. I'm going to use for a title, From Wit's End to Your Desired Haven. From wit's end to your desired haven. And I am saying haven, not heaven yet. There are times, church, in our lives when we feel like we have come to that place called wit's end.
Yes.
If we haven't been there yet, we're heading there.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
If we haven't been there, we know somebody who's been there.
Yes.
And if we've been there before, we're getting ready to go there again.
Yes.
Some of you right now may be asking exactly what is this place called Wit's End. So glad you asked. Wit's End can be described in several ways.
Yes.
By show of hands, how many of you saw the movie The Pursuit of Happiness? Good. What about the book? Anybody read the book?
Wonderful.
Somebody read the book. You see, as a librarian, I got to ask about the book. We can't just see the movie alone. That's actually a true story. I don't know if you know that. But that movie that we went and we watched, it's a true story. It is a story of Chris Gardner, who today is a millionaire, by the way. Well, in that story, Wit's End was when Chris and his son had to sleep in a bathroom in a train station. And in the movie they used, Will Smith's son was a little older. In real life, the son was actually a toddler. So a father and a toddler being evicted from their home, sleeping in a restroom, a public restroom, at the train station. That is an example of Wit's End. Wit's End is a place of what I call immense suffering, coupled with immense helplessness. It's a place we get to when we've done all we can do that is humanly possible, but the suffering persists. It's a place where we can't make sense of what's happening. When the doctors say they can't do anything else for you. When a father returns home to find his 14-year-old son dead with another girl who's also 14. It's when we lose a job that is our only source of income and we have no idea how the bills are going to get paid. It's when we've studied and we've studied and we've lost sleep. But we still fail that exam. That is Wit's End. It is when we are bullied constantly by children and by adults.
Amen.
It is when we are forced to evacuate our homes, leaving behind everything that we've worked for, not knowing if and when we're going to return. It is when we return to our homes, church, and find them submerged in water and our belongings just floating along. It is when a tree falls and splits our home in two for the second time in 2 years. It is when we have to stand and watch as flames engulf our homes. It is when our business is damaged and some people choose to root. And it is when a single county has to deal with all of its schools being damaged. One county, every single school damaged. That, my friends, is Wit's End. One of my theology professors recommended that when we're preparing for a sermon, that we use 10 different translations. I thought that was a bit excessive. And I've never been able to do it because time does not allow. However, as I prepared for this sermon, I thought it might be interesting to look at Wit's End in some different translations.
Yes.
I started to run around my house, and I'm looking for all the translations that I have. I actually found 15. All right. Now, here's what I found in my 15 translations concerning Wit's End.
Yes.
9 of those translations did not change Wit's End. There's a reason for that. The Amplified Bible used Wit's End, but it amplified it by saying, all their wisdom has come to nothing. The Everyday Bible says they did not know what to do. The Good News Bible says all their skill was useless. The New American Bible says all their skill to no avail. And the Message, the last one, the Message. Sister Lisa, that's your message. That's your Bible, actually. Sister Lisa's Bible, the Message. I pulled that one out, and it says, didn't know which end was up. That is Wit's End, my friend.
That's right.
Now listen, I know I could have gone to Google. It would have taken me 2 seconds to find all this. But I took the opportunity to collect all my translations. Now I've got them in one place. So maybe one of these days, when I'm doing another sermon, I may refer to them. There's good news about Wit's End, my friends. Wick's End is not our dwelling place.
Yes. Yes.
It is not our final destination.
Amen.
That's the good news about Wick's End. As I was thinking about this, I thought, Wick's End is kind of like a detour. I know somebody might say, a detour? How is that, Wick's End? All you do is you follow the detour signs. What if the night before the road had eroded and they had to block it off?
Yeah.
They didn't have time to put up the signs. And what if you were going to an interview? That interview you were waiting on that for almost 7 months. You were out of the job. And what if you didn't know the area? And what if all you had to depend on was the GPS that kept telling you, go straight, go straight, go straight? Well, what if you decided to make a U-turn? The GPS still has made another U-turn. But if you come to the first turn you can make, and you make that right turn, and the GPS says, turn right, and you do. And the GPS says again, make the next right, and you do. And it says, make the next right, and you do. And bam, you're back to the
GPS. Where you started, yes.
That is Wick's End, my friends. But you're at the detour, and you decided to take 5 deep breaths.
Come on.
And you pray a little prayer. And you make some other steps, and before you know it, you're at the interview, and guess what, you made it early because you listened that morning to that small voice that said to you, give yourself some extra time, because you don't know where you're going. Wick's End, my friend, is only a stop on our way to a destination. It is a stop on our way to our desired haven. This brings us to another question. What is that desired haven? One simple response is any place but Wick's End.
Yes.
A desired haven is a place we want to be.
Yes.
It is a place of safety, a place of peace, of hope, of joy. It's a place of protection. It's a place of success. It's a place of happiness.
Yes.
Now, our desired haven may vary from situation to situation.
Well,
yes.
While on this journey, my desired haven may be different from yours. However, as children of God, we all have one common desired haven. Our final destination, which is God's beautiful, awesome, magnificent heaven.
Yes.
Now, while we can't escape Wick's End, we can definitely get past it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right? The thing is, we need to know what to do when we get there. Yes. This song, 107, features 4 groups of people who were at their Wick's End. Let's see what they did. The first 3 groups, I'm gonna be quick. Because to do all these 4 groups, you're gonna be here 2 hours, you don't wanna do that. So the first group is found in the verses of Psalm 104, Psalm 107, verses 4-7.
Yes.
This group, I call them wanderers, according to the Bible. It says they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. We said. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Hallelujah. This group, my friends, reminds me of the children of Israel when they were finally freed from Egypt, but they ended up at the Red Sea. At the Red Sea, they couldn't go forward. And they looked back, and they saw Pharaoh's army coming. Wick's End, my friend.
Yes.
Hallelujah. In Exodus 14, verses 10, and a few of those verses, we see that Pharaoh drew nigh And the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. Wits end, my friend. And here's what they did. The Bible says, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Cried unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Moses told them, fear not. And it's a nice, the story goes on, but I'm not going to dwell there. The thing is that God delivered them.
Yes, he did.
He caused the Egyptians to see night. And then he caused the Israelites to see daytime.
Yes.
And while the Egyptians were thinking it was daytime, I mean nighttime, they might have been resting and relaxing. God was doing his thing. Woo! Parting the waters. Anyway, God delivered them from within. The next group is a rebellious group that finds themselves bound. Verses 10 through 12 say, this group, it starts, such as sin in darkness and in the shadow of death, be bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God.
Yes.
Rebellion. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell, and there was none to help.
Yes.
Wits end, my friends.
Yes, yes.
Then they cried unto the Lord
in
their trouble.
Pray.
And he saved them out of their distresses.
Pray. Yes.
Hallelujah. So we see here they were rebelling against the word of God. And they had to live in darkness, away from the light of God. Therefore, they were bound in sin, not having access to God's help.
Come on.
This reminds me of a time when the same children of Israel would disobey God and suffer the consequences.
Yes.
But God saved them
when
they turned back to Him.
Let's
look at our group three. Group three is sick and foolish. Verses 17 through 21. Verse 17 simply starts out with fools. Now, I know that might be strong, but yes, you have to agree, sometimes we do foolish things.
Yes.
So it says here, they're fools because of their transgression and because of their iniquities. They were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of meat. They couldn't eat because they were afflicted. They drew nigh unto the gates of death. Wits end, my friends. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble and saved them out of their distresses.
Amen.
He sent his word and healed them and delivered them. When I think about this group, I actually think about King Hezekiah. Now, by no means is that a foolish king. He's not a fool, but he was sick unto death. He was sick unto death. He was at wit's end, my friends. The man of God went to him and he told him, King Hezekiah, put your house in order. Because you're going to die and not live. He was sick unto death. But see, King Hezekiah didn't accept that. He said, I know how to pray. I know, Lord, you said it and it must be your will, but I can pray, so I'm going to pray. So King Hezekiah prayed to the Lord.
Yeah.
In fact, he cried. The Bible said he wept sore. That's a grown man crying really hard. And he prayed and he prayed.
Yes, yes.
And God responded.
All right.
He was at wit's end. And God pulled him back. King Hezekiah said, Lord, I've been a good man. I've been righteous. I've done what you've asked me to do. And he prayed, and God gave him more time. In fact, God gave the man 15 more years from prayer. You see, the Bible here says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. King Hezekiah prayed. He cried out to God. And God took him from wit's end and put him in his desired heaven.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Now let us look at my group four. That's what we read. Group four is the text we read. This is an interesting group, and it really applies to what's going on right now almost. These guys are maritime workers. They're sailors. They're experts of the sea. They've got skill beyond skill. They know the work of God. They've seen his work beneath the waters. These are competent men. But on this particular occasion, they saw another side of God's power. As he stirred up the waves, and he took their vessels, and he tossed them in the high heavens, and brought them back to the seas, and splashed them all over. The men were staggering as if they were drunk.
Yes.
And all their skill was to no avail. All their skill was useless. And that was when they cried out. Hallelujah. Yeah. They cried out to this great God of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at those verses. Let's look at those verses. 107. If you look at 27, it says they reeled to and fro. And then 28 says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses.
Yes.
29 says he maketh the storm a calm.
Yeah.
So that the waves thereof are still. Then they were glad. Hallelujah. Then they were glad because the King James I'm reading, it says, they be quiet. That's all right. I hear people talk like that. They be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Hallelujah. I do want to back up to 27 because I want us to read that again. 27 says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. And are at their wit's end. So we see, oh God, move them from wit's end to their desired haven in verse 30. Right now in Bible study, we're looking at the Psalms, and the pastor is teaching us about how to read the Psalms. And one of the things that he has taught us is that when we read the Psalms, we got to look for Christ in the Psalms.
Yes.
A lot of these Psalms point to Christ, he
yes,
said.
They do.
And when we read, we should look for Christ.
Right.
So as I was reading this section, brothers and sisters, I couldn't help but think about Jesus sleeping in a boat.
Yes.
He was sleeping in a boat when the storm was raging. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He was resting comfortably. But the waves were boisterous around him. And his disciples became sore afraid.
Yes.
They were afraid. And they cried out to Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, do you not care that we fear? Hallelujah. Jesus simply got out of his sleep. He did reprimand them. He reprimanded them for their little faith. But then he spoke to the storm. He spoke to the wind, the seas, and the waves. And he said simply, peace. Be still.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Church, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that Jesus is always in our storm.
Yes.
He's always there. Hallelujah. He never leaves us. I also thought about how Jesus Christ himself was getting ready to face his own wit's end. You see, as he approached his wit's end, he spent hours and hours in agonizing prayer. Asking his father if it could pass. But to no avail, because that was his destiny. So, my friends, as our Lord and Savior was at his wit's end, hanging on that old rugged cross for you and for me, he cried out to his Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn to Mark 15, 33 through 35. I give you a second because I want you to see that. Mark 15, 33. Mm. New Testament. Matthew, Mark. Mm. Second book of the New Testament. It reads, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is interpreted, being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yes.
Now some of those who were standing by, the Bible says, and some of them who stood by, when they heard it, they said, behold, he calls for Elias. No, he did not. He did not call for Elias. I believe that because he was weighted down by the tremendous burden of our sins.
Yes.
And that feeling that his father had forsaken him. I believe the third person of the Godhead just stepped in to comfort him. Hallelujah. And that's the Holy Spirit, my friends.
Yeah.
You see, this reminds me that if we become too overwhelmed, we can rely on the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You see, Jesus had taught his disciples about the Holy Spirit. And the role that the Holy Spirit would play when Jesus would leave.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit would be a comforter, a teacher, a guide. And he would also help the disciples to remember the things Jesus had taught them.
Yes.
You see, my friends, when we are at wit's end, sometimes we don't remember things.
Yes.
Sometimes we can't think clearly.
Yes.
And that's when we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. And he will help us to remember some of Jesus' words to his disciples. Words like, let not your heart be troubled.
Yes.
Peace I leave with you.
Yes.
My peace I give unto you.
Yes.
I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the Good Shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the light of this world. And I am the resurrection and the life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will help you to remember the teachings of Jesus. Now, church, in all these examples that I gave, we saw one common reaction. Everyone cried out to the Lord. Everyone prayed to the only source that can truly deliver. Wit's end.
Yes.
When you get there, that's what you do. That's what you do. Now, There are times in this life when we will get to wit's end and we will not be able to pray. We will not be able to even think. We will not be able to lean on the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because sometimes, again, wit's end can do that. So, as a pragmatist, that's what I am. I'm going to leave you some advice in the event that you get there, but you can't pray. If you get to wit's end and you pray and you pray, but you still feel like you're stuck in quicksand.
Yes.
You feel like it's pulling you down. And you look around and there's nothing, no lifeline. If you're unable to cry out in tongues, my friends, if you can't see your desired haven clearly,
Hallelujah.
I exhort you, I beg you to call somebody. Reach out to somebody.
Yes.
Reach out to somebody. Hallelujah. A friend, preferably a true friend, not one on Facebook, a trusted family member, a pastor. We've got a pastor here who will listen to you. Reach out to the associate ministers.
Yes,
reach
Lord.
Out to your deacons.
Yes.
Reach out, my friends. Reach out to crisis officials.
That's what I call them.
Break. Yes.
Let's pick up that phone.
Break.
And call somebody.
Yes.
And if you can't remember somebody's phone number,
because
you can't remember them, I don't know them, I got to search for them in my cell phone. But what if your cell phone is dead?
Yes.
What if? Just what if?
Come on.
And maybe the only thing you can do is dial 911. If the cell phone is just dying, it will allow you to do that.
Yes.
I beg you, call 911. We've heard recent news reports about husbands killing entire families and themselves. About mothers killing themselves and their children. About children who have killed their parents. About friends killing friends over simple, stupid disagreements. And we've heard about individuals who have taken their own lives.
Yes.
Right now, we're at the end of September, which is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month.
Yes.
Through this campaign, I learned that suicide rates have increased among teens and young adults. Church, our life is not for us or for anyone else to take. God, the Son, gave His life for us so that we might have life.
Yes.
So let us choose life.
Yes.
Let us live, church.
Yes.
Let us choose life. Hallelujah. And I firmly believe that some people don't choose life. They choose a path of fatality because they don't know what to do when they get to wit's end. Therefore, as children of God, we have a duty to let people know that they can trust God by crying out to Him in their pains, in their hurts, in their distresses, in their trouble.
Yes.
The Apostle Paul gives us a wonderful example in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 10. I'll just read that for you. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even for life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raised the dead."
Come on.
Hallelujah. "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver." Watch this. He delivered, He still delivers, and He will continue to deliver, my friends. We've got to tell that to people. Hallelujah. Also, as believers, we need to heed the words of the psalmist. Hallelujah. In this Psalm 107, heed the words of the psalmist by praising God when He takes us from wit's end to our desired haven. The psalmist says in verse 8, you didn't know we were going to cover this entire psalm, did you? In verse 8, the psalmist says, "Oh, that men would praise God, praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." In verse 15, the psalmist says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." And in verse 21, he says, "Oh, that man," hallelujah, "would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." And in verse 31, he says it again.
Yes.
He says it again, "Oh, that man would praise the Lord for His goodness." Hallelujah. and for his wonderful words
yes.
to the children of men.
Yes.
I believe David repeats these words because not only do they glorify God, but they serve as a source of encouragement for others.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When we heed these words, my brothers and my sisters,
yes.
we are letting others know that week's end is not our final destination.
Yes.
As I said before, I'll say it again. Our final destination is God's beautiful heaven.
Yes.
And God, in his mercy, and through his loving kindness, will do whatever it takes.
Yes.
Whatever it takes.
Yes.
You know that song? God will do whatever it takes to get us to our final destination.
That's right. That's right.
Because as we've seen in Psalm 107, he will be our Redeemer. He'll be our guide. He'll be our chain breaker. He'll be our Savior and healer. And more than anything else, he will be the master of our storm.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
Blessed holy name. I'm closing, church.
Yes.
I got one more verse. I got two more verses from Psalm 107. And here it is at the very beginning. So let's go to the very beginning of Psalm 107.
Yes.
And I'm going to leave you with that. Those verses say, verse 2 say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah, church. Then verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you the redeemed of the Lord? Well, can you say so? Can you say thank you, Lord? Can you say thank you, Lord?
Yes.
If you are the redeemed of the Lord, I want you to say so. Hallelujah. Redeemed us from the hand of the enemy.
Yeah.
God bless you,
church.
Amen.
Save us from missing us.
Yeah.
For desiring. Praise God.
Amen.